Blog Talk Radio.
If you love America, you're among friends here.
You ready?
Welcome to duty, Commander.
Let's go!
Go, go, go! Enemy forces spotted. Follow me, men. Watch out, grenade! Man down, man down! All right, you're good to go.
Thanks, much appreciated.
All clear. Position under control. Out.
We've regained control. Good work, men.
You've been recommended for promotion. Promotion.
You're traveling to another radio show. A broadcast not only of sight and sound, but of mind, mind. A journey into the wondrous land whose boundaries are that of the imagination. That's the on-air sign up ahead.
By design with your host, Uncle Bing Fisher. And the number here is 646-478-5284. Before I get into a lot of it, I want to thank Brian Futch for our lead-in, part of our lead-in. And he always does our lead-out, too. You can catch him over at brianfutch.com. I also want to express my sympathies and condolences to the passing away of nationally syndicated radio show host Phil Valentine from COVID, complications and so on from COVID. Now, contrary to what the media is reporting on Phil Valentine's passing, is that he was never anti-vax. He was just saying that, look, I don't feel with his own personal experience and that kind of thing, he did not seem like he needed to get the vaccine. He did not want it. And maybe a poor choice on his part. I can't get it because I have foodborne allergies, and so I kind of can understand that, but it was free choice. It's free choice. And Phil, I've had on this show a few times, just a great common sense conservative that freedom meant, understood what a representative republic meant, understood how the government should operate, and understood what basic freedoms in this world actually represent. And actually, he followed those. He was an actor, an author, writer, musician, and off air we would have interactions and so on, and it was always a very pleasant experience. So I want to say my condolences to his family and to the rest of the people out there that loved Uncle Phil, because I know I did. And I'm sorry that he's no longer with us. There's a lot that are not going to be with us if this fiasco in Afghanistan keeps taking control. This administration, and every day it seems I wake up and there's another bumble, there's another rip tide, there's another misspoken word by this senile, old, decrepit man that can't manage pulling out of a country. He should have pulled out when he had Hunter Biden, but that's another story. He can't manage this. He is incompetent. Do you ever watch that Twilight Zone movie? You're incompetent? Do you ever watch that where they have the librarian up there and says, well, you're no longer needed? Well, Joe Biden is no longer needed. This man is a bumbling freaking idiot. You leave a country that war with. We've got, what, 1,000 troops, 2,000 troops that were there when he was leaving. We got 2,000 troops in Korea. We got South Korea. We got 2,000 troops in Vietnam. We've got troops all over. But we're able to maintain stability because we keep the lid on with those troops. And he just wants to get rid of every troop in the region and not take care of Americans that are sitting there as sitting ducks. And Afghanis that have fought alongside of us. This man, Joe Biden, is a corrupt political hack. He's been that way for 50 years. His foreign policy has been a failure ever since day one that he got in office. He can't get anything right. Now he's at the age that he needs to go. And I swear, I hope somebody in the Republican Party, because it's not going to be a Democrat, because they're all covering for him. I hope somebody in the Republican Party calls for his impeachment immediately because he's incompetent. He is making our country the embarrassment focal point of the world right now. We look like fools, idiots. We've got the French coming in, bail out their people. And we can't save our own American citizens, because he took the military out and you set it up on a billboard for all the Taliban and all the Al-Qaeda and all the ISIS or Daesh, however you want to call them, to see when we were pulling out, the timeline, everything. It was all laid out. You can't tell me that this man has not been briefed by the military. I just don't believe it. He had to have been briefed, and he had to have known. He was on George Stephanopoulos' show the other night. And he goes, well, you know, it almost like he's so arrogant in that he does not care about these people, the Americans, the interpreters, the people that helped us in this 20-year campaign against radical Muslims. It seems like he doesn't care, and he does, but he does care about the influx of illegals coming through the border. He does care about that because you know why? Those are future voters. Thousands, hundreds of thousands a week come in to our porous southern border. He reversed. He's got orange man syndrome because he reversed every single thing that Trump had going. We had a lid on Afghanistan. There's no way that Trump would have went out and said, look, I'm taking everybody out, and televised it and promoted it like it's a concert event or some shit, and told our enemy when the timeline of when we were pulling out, of what we were doing, Now we've got millions and millions of dollars of machinery, of equipment, of high-tech gadgets sitting in Afghanistan without being moved, without being airlifted out, without being targeted and destroyed. Apache helicopters. They've got listening devices. They've got high-tech armament. They've got tanks. They've got everything that we had there to maintain the stability of the region. And all we had to do was keep 1,000 or 2,000 troops on the ground. We haven't had a death there in 2 years. Keep a few on the ground to keep the lid on these idiots. You know, there's a joke when you go to Afghanistan. Turn your clock back 10 hours plus 650 frickin' years, because that's where these people are. They are living in medieval times. They are ruthless. They don't care. What about the women and children, Joe? What about the children that you used to go up and sniff their hair, and the women that you would grope? You are a joke. You're a disgrace to the American public. You're a disgrace to the republic in general. You have no idea what's going on. You've got your vice president going to Vietnam in Saigon of all places. What a photo op. What a segue that is. When we had military helicopters getting our people out of Hotel Charlie. What are you thinking? You stupid idiot. What are you thinking? And if it's not you being impeached, then it must be generals being fired. It must be people reorganizing your administration. But I'm beyond that. I'm way beyond the politics of this fiasco, this death trap that we've got ourselves into, because now we're surrounded at Bagram, and we're surrounded, and we're putting more troops in. Does that make any sense? And then does it make any sense when Joe goes on George's show, Stephanopoulos, and he says, well, there's no problem. Any American that wants to get out. And then you got his joint staff that comes in afterwards and says, well, we don't even know where they're at. We got people over there burning their passports. They don't want to be recognized as Americans. How are you going to get them out, Joe? This is a bloodbath. This bloodbath is blamed on you. You have blood on your hands. You should be tried for crimes and misdemeanors. High crimes, high treason, actually, and misdemeanors. You're a joke. This whole presidency has been a joke. It's been set up by the media. It's been confiscated by the American public, by the Chinese, by the Russians, by our own infrastructure. This man is a joke. This man is going to, he's already made ourselves, I mean, nobody trusts us anymore. Nobody. Nobody trusts us for anything anymore. How can they? I wouldn't blame them. When we got this much incompetence, if I was this bad at my job, I'd be fired instantly. Instantly. But Joe gets away with it because the media is covering for him. You don't hear anything about this anywhere on the media. They try covering up. You got people that are being trampled to death. The air base is surrounded. We lost our other air base. We don't have it. We'll never get these people out. I'm just saying that. I'm sorry, but we will not get them out unless old Anvil Joe says and gives the order to say, look, whatever you have to do, get these people out. Our troops are ready for it. They're prepared for it. They want to go in and do it. So let them do it, Joe. Get off your ass. Get up out of bed eating ice cream and do something. This is a catastrophe. Just like the southern border, just like every other single foreign policy issue you've been involved in, Joe, it sucks to high heaven. And now there's blood on your hands. And the left out there is blaming it on climate change. Well, the Taliban, well, you know, it's been hot over there and they've been, you know, feisty, now they're feisty or whatever. I mean, what is up with these people? They're living in some kind of delusional third reality that I can understand. I mean, I don't get it. They want to blame it on climate change? MSNBC, that's what they're talking about. This is all about climate change. Bunch of retards, window licker, short bus riding libtards. That's what they are. Toting the party line, toting the water for the party, because the party is in trouble right now. You watch. 2022, by God, is going to be a blowout, in my opinion, because the American people see through bullshit. And they see bullshit right here. And they see ineptitude. They see this administration faltering. They see the commanders that he appointed contradicting him almost at every step. Well, you didn't say that to us. We told you this. You know, you just keep hearing this. If you listen to the real news, if you go search for real news, if you want to search for ABC or BSNBC or CBS, you're not going to get the real news. You're going to get the real news in outlets other than them because they won't report it. They won't tell you that we traded 5 Taliban headhunters, basically, for 1 American traitor, Bob Bergdahl. You won't hear that much on MSNBC. You won't hear it on ABC. You won't hear it on CBS. And then you also will not hear that 1 or 2 of them are already back in the field as generals against us in the field, surrounding an air base, where we're trying to get people out, where people are dying, clinging to planes, falling to their deaths, where children are dying, getting trampled on. How do you feel now, Joe? How do you feel, you bumbling frickin' retard? How do you feel, Joe? Can you sleep at night? Seriously, can you? I don't think you can. But in the meantime, we got the leftist hatred, and I play this every week, and I'm going to play it again because it just demonstrates they are not over Trump. They're not over the fact if this was Trump in charge, this would never have happened. Never. But they can't get by it. They can't get past it. It's beyond them. They got TDS. Oh. Trump derangement syndrome or tiny dick syndrome, one of the two, but they got it. Be right back.
I just don't even know why there aren't uprisings all over the country. Maybe there will be.
People need to start taking to the streets. This is a dictator.
You know, there needs to be unrest in the streets for as long as there's unrest in our lives.
Enemies of the state.
Show me where it says that protests are supposed to be polite and peaceful.
Do something about your dad's immigration practices, you feckless.
When they go low, we kick.
How do you resist the temptation to run up and wring her neck?
Biggest terror threat in this country is
white men, most of them radicalized right, to the right.
I thought he should have punched him in the face. So even if he lost, he insulted your wife.
Yes.
He came down the escalator and called Mexicans rapists and murderers. He said, well, what do you think I should have done? I said, I think you should have punched him in the face and then gotten out of the race. You would have been a hero.
I'd like to punch him in the face. I said, if we were in high school, I'd take him behind the gym and beat the hell out of him.
Punch some people in the face!
When was the last time an actor assassinated a president?
They're still going to have to go out and put a bullet in Donald Trump, and that's a fact.
Look at this character. He's stabbed to death.
Where is John Wilkes Booth when you need him?
I have thought an awful lot about blowing up the White House.
A Missouri state senator is under investigation by the Secret Service after saying she hopes President Trump is assassinated.
I will go and take Trump out tonight.
And if you see anybody from that cabinet in a restaurant, in a department store, at a gasoline station, you get out and you create a crowd. And you push back on them. And you tell them they're not welcome anymore, anywhere.
And sadly, the domestic enemies to our voting system and our honoring our Constitution are right at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue.
They're not going to stop before Election Day in November, and they're not going to stop after Election Day. And that should be, everyone should take note of that on both levels, that this isn't, they're not going to let up, and they should not.
If you think we're rallying now, you ain't seen nothing yet.
Yeah, shut up. And Nancy Pelosi, look, all these celebrities, if they feel so intent on taking somebody out and so cocky, then why don't we send them off to Afghaniland? Let them go ahead and see what these soldiers, our brave men and women, have to put up with day in and day out to try to get extradite our people, our U.S. citizens. What other administration would ever let this happen? I can't recall in my lifetime. I remember Saigon a little bit, but not much. But what other administration would let this happen? Why would you pull out all the U.S. troops, or pretty much all of them, leave your equipment standing, and not have some kind of plan to rescue the Americans that are still there? U.S. citizens and interpreters and Afghans that have been fighting alongside for 20 years with our soldiers. What other administration can you think of would do something like this? I can't think of one except Joe Biden. The man is just totally incompetent. I mean, totally. It just frustrates me to no end, because the military just means a lot to me, and I just can't see them having to put up with this, but they do. They do it on a daily basis because it's their job. We could take and extradite our people out of this country, no problem, if he would let them, but he's not. Because his political points, he promised his base. He promised this. He promised. It's the same thing with the wall. I promise that we're going to open the wall. We're going to open the wall. We're going to have open borders, because that's the way they increase their base. They can't do it on their merit. They have to do it on allowing people in illegally, because they have no fact behind them. Be listening to American by Design. Number here is 646-478-5284. The reason why I haven't been on for 2 weeks is because my wife's father passed away, a week and a half ago, something like that. In the middle, it was early in the morning when she got the call that his heart stopped again, and they put him on a respirator. She was running out the door, fell down the deck stairs, fractured her ankle in 3 different places, and I had to go down and pick her up, put her in a car, and take her up to the hospital, get her fixed up, and then go out to Murfreesboro, which, if you don't know, I live in Tennessee, in the Highland area of Tennessee. We had to go to Murfreesboro, and we stayed there all day, pretty much. And her daddy passed away that night, and we had the funeral, and then I got sick, and my daughter came up. She's an LPN to take care of her mama, and she brought up some kind of funk with her, so I've been sick, so that's why I haven't done the show for 2 weeks, but we're back, and I sit there and look at some of these, the headlines, and one of them is, that kind of caught my eye, is how did the Taliban know that the Joe Biden Afghan surrender was coming? Well, and this is, I'm trying to think, Judy McLeod, and this is from Canada Free Press. It's almost amazing that you have to get your news from an outside source other than the U.S. just to get your news. But imagine trusting, I'm quoting here, imagine trusting not your own forces, but trusting in the brutality of the bloodthirsty Taliban. How is it possible that the American administration, Democrat or Republican, could leave the Taliban some $48 billion worth of weapons, including helicopters, armored vehicles, and fighter jets? It's because, as columnist videographer Kelly O'Connell asserts in this column, it was a purposeful choice by far-left Dems to destroy U.S. global standing. Now, if you think about it, this is what they've been doing with open borders. They're destroying our standing as a republic. They're destroying it. They're destroying capitalism, which is tied to the hip of the Constitution. It's tied. They're destroying this country from within. These are traitors. They're not just really bumbling idiots. They're traitors. What's happening in Afghanistan is not by accident, to requote. The disaster that is Afghanistan is so defective in so many profound and different ways that it has to be a purposeful decision to try and destroy America's standing in the world. Nobody could make so many mistakes at that level and have it all be by accident. We know the leftist Biden administration has already done everything they can do to sabotage America. And by creating such a gigantic avoidable disaster, we are communicating to the world that we can't be trusted. And we can't be trusted. I wouldn't trust us anymore. And I'm an American. I wouldn't trust us anymore because we've got people in this country that want us destroyed. They think socialism is the way to go, all the Bernie supporters and all that. But they've never lived under socialism. They have no idea, no clue of what socialism is. They never lived under that. They never lived under Taliban rule. They never lived under Al-Qaeda rule, ISIS rule, or Daesh, if you want to call them that. They never lived in these other countries. But it's easy for them to get up there on their soapbox and tell other people how to live. It's the same thing with the politicians that have bodyguards, but they want to defund the police. They want to take your guns away when they have armed militias behind them. It's all right for them to sit there and talk to you and tell you how to live. The same thing with mask mandates. Same exact thing. It's government control over you. If they can control you, they can rule you. And if they rule you, then you're nothing more than a slave to them. And their elitist policies, their elitist mandates? What's next? What's the next variant on the horizon? I think the Delta variant should be renamed the Biden variant because he let it slip. Afghanistan is going to fall. I heard a man on TV, I think it was on Fox or something, but he was saying Afghanistan is gone. We are done. There's nothing left for Afghanistan. Nothing. And there really isn't. People said, you know, they have a poll and they say, well, 70-80% of the people say we, you know, should have never started this war. No, we should have started this war. The problem is when you ask people, how do you approve of how we're getting out of this war? And the approval rating is dismal at best. Joe Biden owns this bloodshed on his hands. He owns every bit of it. And he said it. He said it in his conference speech. He said the buck stops here. Well, I say we hold him accountable for that. Because if the buck stops at Joe Biden's office or at Joe Biden himself, and he screwed up this badly, then he needs to be impeached for high crimes and misdemeanors. Has to be. I'm going to let Liz Wheeler take it for a second.
7 in 10 millennials do not know this, so listen up. According to a new YouGov poll, 7 in 10 millennials say they would vote for a socialist. 1 in 3 millennials see communism as favorable, and half of millennials have an unfavorable view of capitalism. So tonight, I will show you what 7 in 10 millennials obviously do not know, the 5 reasons socialism will destroy your life. Number 1, 100 million people were killed in the 20th century by socialist and communist regimes. 100 million people. If you think socialism or communism in America would result in anything other than oppression or death, you are sorely mistaken. Number 2, in the socialist Soviet Union, people stood in line for hours for a loaf of bread and were forced to eat their own shoes rather than starve to death. In Venezuela today, people are trekking hours to the borders just for a single meager meal a day. And people are burning their money because money doesn't even buy them food to keep them alive, thanks to socialism. Number 3, in communist Cuba, you have to bring your own blanket and your own light bulb to the hospital. The surgical instruments are rusty. Medication and healthcare treatments are rationed by the government. In Venezuela, antibiotics are so scarce that a little girl in the hospital survived only because the boy in the hospital room next to hers died and his mother gave her his antibiotics. Meanwhile, in these countries, the rich elites fly to other countries to qualify for health care, for quality health care, while their own people are dying. Number 4, in Venezuela, in Cuba, and certainly in the Soviet Union, if you criticize the government, you can be shot. There are 15,000 political dissidents imprisoned in Venezuela for daring to disagree with the dictator. In Cuba, political prisoners and journalists have been shot in the back of the head. In the Soviet Union, dissidents just disappeared, and the gulags were full of innocent people. Reason number 5, socialism and communism have never worked. No matter how many times they've been tried, it has failed in the Soviet Union, East Germany, China, Venezuela, Cambodia, Cuba, Vietnam, North Korea, Ethiopia, Poland, and Romania, and it would fail here too. But not before our liberty is squashed and millions of people will be forced into poverty, starved, oppressed, and killed. Apparently, 7 in 10 millennials do not know this. Millennials in this poll also said they think President Donald Trump is the, quote, biggest threat to world peace, even more so than Putin, Xi Jinping, or Kim Jong-un. In fact, 10% of millennials in this poll said Trump is, quote, responsible for more deaths and human rights abuses than Joseph Stalin or Adolf Hitler. So for goodness sake, turn off the Young Turks or whatever garbage YouTubers you watch and read a history book and reject communism and socialism before you destroy our country and your own life. Thank you. We would all appreciate.
Yeah. Thank you, Liz. And something just happened with Blog Talk Radio, so I can't even play anything, but we'll just take it from here. I don't even know if I'm coming through, but I don't know. It's getting kind of aggravating. But yeah, that's where we're at right now. We're in between a rock and a hard place, especially with our soldiers. And I fear for them, you know, because they're taking the brunt of this. They're taking pretty much all of this based off the incompetency of one man, based off of his dereliction of duty of keeping the country safe. We will end up losing a lot of people to this so-called skirmish when we never had to. If he would have listened, if he would have paid attention, if he would have been on the ball, we wouldn't have had this. It would be pretty much over with. If he would have let people, if he would have gave the order and just generalized it and say, look, whatever you have to do, I'm going to trust in you because I'm too freaking stupid to understand any of this. I'm going to entrust in you to do whatever you can do to get our people out. He keeps saying that, that he's going to do everything he can to get Americans out. But he doesn't say all Americans. And then he tells George Stephanopoulos that, well, you know, it's going to be kind of crappy. It's going to be messy. But when has withdrawing from a country ever not been messy? See, he contradicts himself at every opportunity. He keeps doing it. And he looks like a bumbling fool like he is. And that translates to the world as embarrassing. It translates to the world as a joke. And they all know it. They don't get their news from MSNBC or CBS or ABC. They get their news from different sources like that story I just wrote, read to you about Sky, or whatever it was, English news. They get it, or Canadian press, I'm sorry, Canadian Free Press. They get it from other places. We are so screwed up in this country right now. I don't know if it's saving. I don't know. It's worth saving, but I don't know if we can. We've got critical learning theory. We got mask mandates. We've got open borders. We've got Afghanistan that's on fire. We've got all sorts of problems with people thinking that global warming is the biggest existential threat to this country other than terrorism. Are you kidding me? And these people in Afghanistan, Kabul, South Africa, these people are going to come kill us. How many people do you want to see die before you understand that this administration to go? They need to be replaced. And the Nancy Pelosi's and the Chuck Schumer's and the rest of the Hollywood media type and just the media in general to think they got a better way, let them go and figure it out. Because right now, as it seems, and like I said, I'm so disgusted with this because we've turned our back to our allies, didn't even tell our allies what we were doing, turned our back to them, turned our back to the Americans that are still in Afghanistan. We turned our back to the translators, the people that were helping us out. We turned our back to everybody. It makes us look weak. This is the weakest I've ever seen this country. This is the most embarrassing thing in my life that I've ever seen. Ever. I don't know how we recover from this, but I don't know. We'll see. Got a caller here. Nothing but ones. Go ahead, caller. Hello? Hello, caller. I'll put you back on mute. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Hey, liberals, why don't you try rooting for your own damn country for a change?
To be a survivor in this amazing race with a need for speed, you need God's grace. And if you're desperate like housewives watching Days of Our Lives, you can't cope without hope, and that's not on a soap. If you look into Oprah or Dr. Phil, you can shop nonstop or pop a pill, but the void won't fill and the pain won't kill till you love the one that hung on the hill. Kicking back in your lazy boy easy chair watching Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? Nah, you're not going to find it there. No American Idol or Council Tribal has a final answer that'll satisfy you. CSI ain't got a clue. SVU don't know what to do. Not the ER, the OC, nothing on a CD. TV, DVD, or MP3 can save you and me. CNN's got no good news. Here's a headline. You must choose. It's not a simple life, Paris Hilton. It's treading on thin ice, living in sin. You can be an apprentice for Donald Trump or eat Fear Factor fast food from a dump. You can be a heavy hitter, a Wheel of Fortune winner, a Fox News no-spin spinner, or a flat-out sinner. But you better check this life that you're living and make sure your sins are forgiven. I bet you 50 cent Elvis Dunn came and went, and eventually every black-eyed pea, Gwen Stefani, P. Diddy, and Britney, every wannabe on MTV with they icy bling, every Dixie chick that sings, they all gonna see the King of Kings. I don't care if you're J-Lo or Leno or Bono. One thing you gotta know, someday you're gonna die, bro. Then where are you going to go? Hey, I'm not talking some punk junk that's irrelevant like your grandma's church from way back when. It's not some preacher feature on TBN that you need to be liking or listening. The real superstar is Jesus Christ. He's the way. He's the truth and the life. One day he's going to split the sky. He's the brightest light and the highest high. So what I came to say and what I'm telling you is don't buy that stupid stuff they be selling you. It's all designed to fill your head and waste your space until you're dead. Here's the bottom line of my rhyme. Give your life to God while there's still time.
Is not an instrument either.
Crazy Talk with your host, Uncle Bing Fisher on American by Design. The call-in number here is 646-478-5284. I got a caller in here, but he's just not answering me. So I don't know. Some people just kind of call up and listen because they can't actually get on the internet or whatever, which is cool. I appreciate that. But, you know, sometimes you sit there and look and you go, okay, you know, do you want to talk to me? No, you know. You don't get no reply. But we look at some of the headlines and so on, and it's just amazing in the year 2021 that we've got $50 million or more of assets that we left on the field. We've got an airbase surrounded by Taliban, Al-Qaeda, and don't say that Al-Qaeda is not there, because when the Taliban let out the Taliban fighters from the prisons, they let out Al-Qaeda too, because they're all pretty much hooked at the waist. And ISIS, or Daesh, if you will, they let all these people out. These people are so far removed from what we think is humanity, I guess it would be. They don't care. They only care about death, destruction. They don't care about hope, humanity, freedom. They don't want that, because they want rule. And if you look at the parallels with the Liberal Party in this country, it's the same thing. They want to rule you. That's why they keep putting themselves in power, keep getting reelected. I don't know who's electing these people, but they've been brainwashed since 1964. When the Communist Manifesto was actually introduced into Congress, which I had a show on that years ago, they've been brainwashed by all the institutions. Now we've got big tech, big pharma, big everything involved in the same exact thing. They brainwash the people. They dumb the people down so they don't know. They don't know the consequences of what they're doing. You see these kids on campus and so on that are interviewed all the time. And, well, you know, what do you think about Joe Biden's policy? Oh, I think they're great. Okay, can you explain one policy that's great? And they can't think of one. They look like the fools they are. And if I were their parents, I would be ashamed, embarrassed. I'd probably want to blow my freaking head off because they're so damn stupid, because I didn't raise them right, but I did, my kids. But when you look at these people that think that Joe Biden is doing the right thing by getting us out, and you ask them, well, why are thousands, hundreds of thousands of people lined up at the airport? Why are they falling off these planes that are designed to take maybe 150, 180 people at a time? And you got brave pilots that have to blow off chap and flares every time they take off because they don't know if they're going to get hit with a missile. And they can fill up 650 people on a transport plane to get them out of there. That shows me that the military is involved, that the military is doing the right thing. It also shows me, on the other hand, when you've got our air base surrounded, close the embassy, Taliban flag goes up, that this president is an imbecile. He's way beyond his pay grade. And like I said, when this is all said and done, obviously people will get fired. I'm thinking, I don't know, it's the Biden administration. They'll probably get a promotion, generals and so on, just to keep their mouth shut so they won't rat on him any more than they have. It's backslidden into a catastrophe. This is a catastrophe just like the southern border. We don't know who these people are. We don't know if they got COVID. We don't know anything about them. If they're in a cartel, nothing. We don't know anything about them. And yet we just flood open the gates. or open the floodgates, I'm sorry, and let these people in. And the Afghan, be damned. The women and children that have, for 20 years, that have progressed to the point where they don't have to wear burqas, where they can play soccer. What's going to happen with them, Joe? They'll be raped, murdered, beaten, tortured. Their husbands will be killed or enlisted in the Taliban army. All for the count of political points for you. How sad, how sick it is that we've come to this point, this trajectory in our country, where we will let deserving people die. It's pretty sad, in my opinion. Got a caller from the 904 area code. Hello.
Hey, good evening.
American Bodies. Hey, how are you doing?
I'm doing swell. How are you?
I've had better weeks, better months, put it that way. But what's on your mind?
Well, I mean, I don't know if I've ever heard your podcast before or not, but I follow it on Blog Talk. But I'm just wondering, I hear, you know, we're kind of in touch with a lot of conservatives. And I'm just wondering, you know, we hear a lot of the conservatives' complaints about everything, and we agree 150%. But where we disagree is how far they're willing to go to make things happen. And right now, the left is kicking the right's butt. And we want to
see this change.
I
totally agree with that. We got a bunch of people without spines that are Republicans and conservatives. I mean, there's some that are good that are out there, but yeah, no, I totally agree with you on that. We're getting our butts handed to us by the Taliban and by our own people that are supposed to be on our side.
I don't know if conservatives real. I'm sorry. I don't know if most conservatives realize this or not, but you're dealing with communism here. Marxist socialism and communism is what you're dealing with, which is on the radical left. So do you know what the counter to that is? What's on the opposite, on the far right?
I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of different things on the far right. I mean, you know, you've got the mad people on the right, you know, the Proud Boys and you know, you've got the KKK and all that kind of stuff that supposedly is on the right, but it was started by the left. But, I mean, I don't know. Clue me in, I guess.
Well,
because I'm just thinking, okay, you know, I know what's on the left. I understand those people. But on the right, and I don't understand all of them, how their manner of thinking, but I do understand that, you know, there are some good people there. It's just that they don't seem to be getting any traction because right now in this climate, they're put down by the left. They're called racists. They're called, you know, whatever it might be.
Right. Well, that's not exactly what's happening. Yeah, they are. You're right. But that's not entirely what's happening. What's happening right now is what's happened to these organizations for the last, I don't know, 2-3 decades, fair to say. With the deplatforming, the websites getting tore down and everything else. This is nothing new to these groups and these organizations. They've been dealing with it for 3 decades. And most conservatives, Republicans, didn't really care because it wasn't affecting them. Well, now it is. It's hurting them. And although we're kind of Trump supporters to an extent, we don't think that Donald Trump is strong enough for the problem. In other words, this country has pneumonia, and we look at Donald Trump as being a baby aspirin. And that's just not going to fix the problem. It's just not strong enough. You're going to have to dig further right for resolve for this problem. And right now the left is making all the noise, and the squeaky wheel gets the grease in America. So the left is getting all the grease. This needs to stop.
Oh, I know it needs to stop, but I mean, when the media is predominantly controlled, and I totally agree with you on all those points, you know, as far as the show, I've been doing this for like 7-8 years, you know, in different platforms, but I keep coming back to the same thing, is that when the people don't get involved, when the people don't get involved, that's when you have the problem. And now you've got parents in Loudoun County and so on that are getting involved in this critical race theory and all that kind of stuff. And they're speaking out about it, and they're getting things done. Now, whether they accomplish their goals, I don't know. But, I mean, I think that's maybe what you're referring to. It's not one person that controls a party or the remedy to something. It's Americans. It's American families. It's American people that control that. Do you not agree?
To an extent. But what's happening is the people on the right are being bullied right now. And as I just before mentioned, that the right, from your, you know, in your category, conservative, nothing against you, it's just not going to cut the mustard. It's not going to do it. The enemy of a communist and a Marxist socialist is a national socialist, a.k.a. neo-Nazi or a Nazi. There is no greater enemy than that. That is the prescription for this sucking chest wound that this country is dealing with. I know that may not be pleasant. That may not be what people want to hear, but that's the reality of it.
Well, yeah, and it's like the like Antifa. I mean, they're supposed to be anti-fascist, but they themselves are fascists. They're just labeled different. And it's, you know, the whole world is upside down. I got another caller. By the way, what is your name or what nickname or something, just so I know?
My name is Bert Colucci. Well, I'm the head of the largest neo-Nazi organization in America, known as the National Socialist Movement.
Okay, great. Welcome aboard, man. Glad to have you.
Thank you.
I'm going to bring somebody else in. And 909 area code, hello? Hello.
Hello. Oh, hang on here. Oops. There we go. Thank you for taking my call. It's Suzette from California. And I'm sorry to hear about
that.
Go ahead.
I was just
saying I'm sorry for what you had to go through over the last few weeks. I was listening to you with my husband, and it sounds like you were really had it going on there for a little bit, and a moment to breathe and exhale.
Yeah, well, it's nothing compared to what's going on in the rest of the world.
True,
you know,
very true. I was going to ask what you thought about Afghanistan. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
You know, the screen, the video and the pictures that we're getting from over there, I can't help but think about, you know, that movie Wag the Dog, because Joe Biden clearly is incompetent. He can't. He's mentally incapacitated. When Trump wanted to draw down the troops, he had a plan, and then Joe didn't. That was about the only one that he didn't get rid of when he came into office. But he also twisted it and changed it up. The military wouldn't let him. The Pentagon and our military generals and upper, you know, people said no, and then they agreed to just let a few, but not even from there. They came from Iraq and dropped down from there, and then it turned out that they lied to him as far as how many people were actually there and how many people were actually brought home. So that came out after November. And so why is it that they let Joe Biden do it? You know, because he didn't actually do it. That's why. Other people
well,
are
let me it. Let me. Let me ask both of you here that I got online. Do you think that Biden was malinformed, or is he just too incompetent or too headstrong against the orange man that he just wanted to do this his own way? I mean, it's a fair question. Either one of you.
Well, apparently a month before this all happened, our allies from other countries had a meeting. The leaders of those countries, and they're coming out now and they're talking about it as far as we talked about it. We advised him and even warned him. But, you know, people in Australia, their leaders were saying, you know, we should have actually done more to tell him, don't do this. But most of them were just like, well, it's probably not a good idea, you know, but he did it anyway. So he was well informed as far as the possibilities of what could transpire with the way he wanted to draw down. So the way he did it was, you know, removing not only our military from the base, but all contractors as well. So they had nobody there to help them out. When all this time when we were training them, we were using airstrikes, Air Force, to help them out when they were down on the ground. So when you remove that, which they came to be dependent upon, they have no contractors there to help them out. They have no military there. Basically, they surrendered the base before they removed anybody, as far as Americans, to bring them home, because they went into Kabul to use that airport when we had a base there with everything that we needed. And so his plan was advised against, but he went forward with it anyway, supposedly. I think it was our Pentagon and our military that made that decision for him, but, you know, I can't say for sure.
What do you think, 904?
Well, having been a former defense contractor in Iraq and Afghanistan both, and having been there and spent many weeks off the bases in the Helmand province and different places in Afghanistan, I can tell you right now that them bringing Afghan nationals over to the United States has got to be the dumbest idea I've ever seen or heard of. They're not going to work over here in the United States. That's never going to work. No more than this thing south of the border here is going to work, no border wall being implemented, anything. Now, to answer your question as far as Biden, this was in the works long before Biden ever came into office, became our, you know, I'm no fan of Biden. Believe me, I despise Joe Biden. I would much rather have Donald Trump as the president of the United States than Joe Biden. This guy is a moron. Sometimes I just wish they'd turn the teleprompter towards the camera so we could figure out what the hell he's even trying to say, because I sure don't know, the bumbling moron. But this is something that he inherited, in all fairness. I don't think he's handling it properly. I don't think we should have done this fast of a withdrawal. But look at the other side of it, too. We've spent trillions and trillions of dollars over in that country, and I've seen this firsthand. It's a nightmare over there. It's a dump. It's a dust bowl. It's dirty. It's overpopulated. I mean, even when I was there, I was on NATO bases. I was at Bagram as well. I was at Camp Leatherneck, which is a Marine base. I was at Kandahar. And I saw more problems with the U.S. soldiers and British soldiers fighting. I saw problems with U.S. Army personnel fighting with U.S. Marines on U.S. bases over there. It was totally different than what I saw when I was. Iraq was more organized. We knew what we were doing over there. Afghanistan was a disaster. And I venture to say it hasn't gotten any better with age since I've left there. It's been probably 2013 or 14 since I've been over there. And I couldn't get out of there quick enough, especially when they started talking about sending the ANA out as security for us, the Afghan National Army. I told them, I said, you send those people out with us to do security on missions, I'm out of here. I'm on the first thing smoking back to the U.S. They're like, why? They got to learn, too. I said, those people will drop their weapons and run. And the Iraqis were no better when I was there. So this is a bad situation. And trillions of dollars, all the people dead, just to have this whole thing fold up in how many days has it been? 3-4 days, however many it's been this past week since we withdrew. What a waste of money. What a waste. And people.
It's not just lives, you know, people that are Americans, people that are Americans, and they're burning their passports so they can't be detected. And how are they going to get through the airport? I mean, it's just a big fiasco that Joe Biden and his administration have orchestrated in this pullout. It's unbelievable to me. I've never seen, like I said, in my 61 years, I'm sorry, of living, I've never seen anything like this. And then you got Kamala Harris goes off to Vietnam, to Saigon. It's just unreal. I mean, can they not, you know, get some stage managers or some producers that can say, you know, like, you should not go there at this point in time. It's going to look awful. Go ahead.
Caller? Can I ask you a question? When you were over there, I know I hear about nation building and all this other, was there anything that the military, our military here in the U.S. and along with allies that had actually built anything? We were hearing here in the States at that time that schools were being rebuilt and, you know, homes and their, you know, their water system and whatever, and that we were, you know, getting on that. And you know the government. I mean, any time that they can get a photo op showing how great they are, they're going to do it. But we never saw anything or heard anything. We just heard that this was going on, but we never saw anything. And so I was just curious, because you were mentioning, which I totally agree with, the trillions of dollars being spent over there for this, you know, FUBAR mission that we were on. Was there anything being built, rebuilt, restored, infrastructure?
Yeah, it's not out of the realm of reality. I can't say one way or another on that, because usually when we went on missions, usually we were trying to recover an asset, because I was the head of the recovery team there. So what that basically meant in both countries, Iraq and Afghanistan, if the U.S. military or any military in a NATO situation, whether it be the Brits or whoever, had an asset that was off the base, my job was to lead the team out there, go recover the asset. Nothing got left off the bases, whether it was in pieces or in whole. Nothing got left off the base. And sometimes that could get us trapped out there for long periods of time. And what we would have to do is we'd have to kind of hang out amongst the ruins, sometimes for up to 2 weeks. It's happened. We come back and we're very dehumanized, and you just, I mean, no showers, no running water, nothing. So it was very tough and it was very challenging, but I personally never saw it, but I can't rightfully say that it didn't happen just because I didn't see it.
Well, thank you for your service. I appreciate you in the
Yeah, I was actually
you know,
I wasn't yeah, I wasn't in the military. Now, just to be clear about that, I was a defense contractor.
And that, but yeah, you were still there though. You volunteered to go for the money or for whatever reason you went. So, thank you.
Thank you. I've got to jump off here real quick, but if you guys want to check out our podcast, we've got about 270,000 listeners on ours, so we're right here on Blog Talk. National Socialist Movement is what it's called. You guys are welcome to come on there, comment, ask any questions you want anytime, and I appreciate you taking my call.
Well, thank you. I appreciate you, too, you know, for tuning in and for, you know, being a patriot, you know, for speaking your mind. Because there's not a lot of people that want to speak their true mind out there anymore. And it's sad. I mean, this is just a sad, it's been a sad week for America, in my opinion. I mean, I don't know how y'all feel.
Have a listen to me on my podcast and you'll find just the opposite with me. I'm extremely abrasive.
I can get that way too when I got liberal trolls, but you know, seeing as tonight's kind of a laid back night, but I appreciate y'all, and I hope to hear from you again. You know, I mean,
yes,
we're
sir.
Just trying. I've been doing this for quite a long time, and I, you know, I want to also ask for prayers for Phil Valentine's family, broadcaster nationally syndicated out of Nashville. He died a couple days ago from COVID, and he was just a mentor to me. So. I just wanted to put that out there. But
prayers coming your way,
guys.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. You folks have a good night, and as well as the young lady out there. Thanks for the question. Have a good night.
Thank you. You too.
And what was your name, ma'am?
Who's that?
Or what was your name, or what name do you want to go by? I catch it.
Oh, it's Suzette from California. Suzette with an S-U-Z. Mm-hmm.
Suzette. Well, thanks for calling in, man. I appreciate it. Any last parting words?
Just pray for our men and women. Pray for our leaders that they develop half a brain at least so they can straighten this mess out. Pray for our country. And, pray for Bill.
Get a spine.
Yes, get a spine. We pray for spine. Courage and spine. Thank you.
Not sorry, our military does not need a spine, but the leaders do. And the leaders need clear to stay right and what's wrong. And obviously, in this case, they bumbled it bad. And I think we're going to have ramifications for years to come out of this. We might have another 9/11. I mean, we don't even know. The only reason why they vamped up the evacuations in Afghanistan is because of ISIS claiming that they were going to do suicide bombing. So, you know, I mean, it's like this administration is taking it one step at a time, and they should be 5 steps, 10 steps ahead. And it's just really embarrassing.
You think they would have learned from Benghazi? You know, they left our guys there at that time too, and they were military contractors and also military personnel. But yeah, they left them hanging high and dry, just like our Americans are right now. But no, we got to get the refugees out and bring them here to America. Damn it all. Anyway, thank you for taking my call, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you. Thank you for calling. You're listening to American by Design, and we're going to go out on the outro with Brian Futch.
That's what makes this country so strong.
I'm with your host, Tim Fisher, and you can catch me on our show. You can catch me on TV, Tim Fisher. Just search for it. God bless y'all. God save our country. God save the people in Afghanistan. And God save our democracy, our republic, actually. Representative Republic. Because if we don't do it as people, the politicians surely will not. Good night. God bless. Love y'all.